unless and until he keeps them in mind and obey them faithfully. His work will not bring him any good return. However diligently and carefully one may try to obey the commands and interdictions of Allah, his exertion will be of no avail to him. If he has any of the following vices and drawbacks in him: he worships anyone but Allah, he allows irritation and nervous tension of his mind to culminate into suicide, he tries to get credit from the work done by others, his deeds do not coincide with his words, he introduces innovation and schism to gain his ends and to achieve his desires, he is a hypocrite, and in presence of persons he speaks and behaves like their friend, but behind their backs he slanders and calumniates them and casts aspersions on their actions. Understand these points and take care that you do not develop these defects and vices in you. Remember that the sole aim of an animal's life is to eat and drink to its fill, and the main occupation of beasts of prey is to kill the weaker animals. Similarly, the predominating desire of a woman is to decorate herself to her heart's content and to create mischief and dissension. Verily, the lot of the faithful followers of the Holy Prophet is poverty and suffering oppression, but they are sincere and honest friends of mankind.
Sermon 157. In this sermon, Imam Ali declares and affirms virtues, merits, eminence, and surpassing excellence of Ahlul Bayt, the progeny of the Holy Prophet, and then he advises people to lead a righteous and moral life. A wise person seriously realizes the ultimate end of his existence. He soberly ponders over the ups and downs of life. The Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, has called the people to Allah. And wherever you may be, he is watching over you like a shepherd tending the herd. Accept his invitation and try to attain and secure the protection offered by him. Men have sunk again into the depths of impiety and vice. They have given up the ways and traditions of the Holy Prophet and have taken to innovation and schism. The true followers are observing a forced silence, and wicked liars are loud in declaring their views. Remember that we are the Ahlul Bayt, chosen descendants of the Holy Prophet. We are his true companions. We are trustees and treasurers of the knowledge granted to him. And we are the doors through which one can reach this storehouse of wisdom and learning. It is unlawful to enter a house but through its door. And he who disregards this principle is a trespasser or a thief. They own and possess by their deeds and words the excellence and nobleness which the Holy Quran preaches. They are the treasure houses of mercy and benevolence of Allah, and they are the sources from which wisdom and knowledge destined for man by Allah could be obtained. Their speeches contain nothing but truth. If they do not speak about any subject, it is not because they do not know anything about it, or that someone else could speak better, but simply because it is advisable not to speak then. It is imperative on the man who has been destined by Allah to guide the humanity to explain things correctly and truly to his followers. Utilize his wisdom for their well-being. Think more of the next world and teach people to attach more importance to it, because they are coming from there and are destined to return there. A man with vision and foresight deeply ponders over the pros and cons of his action and undertakes and continues performing such deeds as are useful and abstains from those which are harmful and injurious.
If a man does not know how to do a thing and tries to do it, he will never achieve success. He is like a traveler who does not know the way and takes up the journey. Owing to his ignorance, the more he goes on, the further he will be away from his destination. And one who has full knowledge of the thing is like a man who knows where to go and what road to take. He will take the right course and reach his goal. A man of prudence and perception should carefully watch whether he is keeping the end in view or he is going astray. Remember, for outward appearance of everything or deed, there is an inner identity. And if the outward appearance possesses sincerity, nobleness, and sanctity, then the inner self is also sincere, noble, and pious. And if the external aspect is vile and vicious, then the internal identity is also wicked and sinful. The truthful Prophet of Allah, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, has declared that the merciful Allah loves his creatures, but he loathes their evil deeds, because they are done with evil intentions, and he dislikes unbelievers, but he appreciates their good deeds, because they are done by noble intentions. Know it well that no plant will grow without water, and the varieties of plants nourished with pure and fresh water will bring forth delicious and sweet fruits, and plants which subsist upon brine or filthy water will produce sour and unwholesome fruits.
Sermon 158. Glory to Allah in the highest, whose entity words fail to describe, explain, or expound, and whose majesty and power are beyond the reach of intellect. Therefore, human intellect cannot comprehend his infinite wisdom and glory. He and he alone is Allah, the Almighty, merciful Allah, the self-evident truth. His being is so manifest that eyes can never discern him. Even the highest intellect cannot define his perfection and excellence, because any such estimation will be a resemblance to his creatures. In whatever way we describe him, the description will bear some form of analogy to some created being. Minds cannot evaluate his might and sublimity, because any kind of such evaluation will bring him in comparison to his creatures, which will not be a correct approach. The grand architect of the universe brought it into creation without the aid of a model and without the help of a counselor or an advisor. It was but only a command from him, and the creations came into being, attained perfection, each in its place. They obeyed without any objection the laws of nature relating to them, and followed without resistance the course laid down for them. If one wants to study the marvels of the art and wonders of the creation as designed and destined by him, one may study the depth of the art and science of body structure exhibited in the creation of a bat. Daylight, the medium through which most animals see, behold, observe, perceive things, and distinguish one from the other, makes a bat blind, and darkness, which sends most of them to retirement, acts as a source of sight to it. Its eyes are unable to make use of the sunlight to move about and take advantage of it. for its life-preserving activities. It has been prevented from moving from place to place during daylight. It sleeps out its days in its den, but converts its nights into days. Dark night is like a bright day for it. It comes out in search of its food during night. Complete darkness is for it no obstacle in carrying itself from place to place and to see things clearly. But as soon as the day dawns and the sun rises, sending its light in every nook and corner, it goes back to its place, closing its eyes to the brightness of the sun. It satisfies itself with what it had gathered during the night. Glory be to Allah, who made the darkness of the night act for a bat to work and search for its food, and who made the day a time for its rest and retirement. He granted the bat wings of flesh, not of feathers. Whenever it so desires, it can rise and fly with their help. They appear as if they are parts of its ears, having neither feathers nor bones. But you can very easily see the lines of arteries and veins running in them. These two wings are neither so thin as to snap, nor so thick as to be too heavy. When it flies, its young one adheres and attaches itself to its mother's body, taking shelter under its expanding wings. It goes up and comes down along with its mother and never parts company with her until it grows strong and its wings get powerful enough to bear the weight of its body, and until it develops enough animal instinct to recognize its food and the factors of its safety and well-being. How exalted is he, and how supremely glorious is his wisdom, that he creates everything without a specimen and without a model. Sermon 159. Just before the battle of Jamal, the camel, at Basra, Imam Ali faced the opposing armies and delivered the following sermon, wherein he explained his leadership, the mental attitude of the commander of the forces of the rebels, the teachings of the Quran, and the trials through which Muslims would pass. Whosoever amongst you can resign himself to the will of Allah must do so. Thus, if you follow and obey me, I shall, Allah willing, guide you to the path leading to paradise and its blessings, though it is a way which in the beginning will make you go through difficulties, troubles, and sufferings. As far as that woman is concerned, Aisha, who took command of the armies facing Imam Ali in the Battle of Jamal, her womanish mind is boiling with envy, hatred, and jealousy. If the thing, rulership of Muslim state, had gone to somebody else, and if she then had been asked to fight against him, she would have not done so. Yet, in spite of her malignant and injurious behavior, I shall maintain the same respect for her as I was doing during the days of the Holy Prophet. But she will have to settle accounts of her deeds with Allah. Way to Allah is a bright and broad highway. It is a luminous and brilliant beacon. Faith precedes good actions, and good actions point towards faith. They complement and reciprocate each other. Faith also guides a man towards education and learning, and knowledge makes him conscious of death. It is death which ends all worldly connections, but only in this world and before death. We can safeguard our position in the next world. Verily, there is no refuge for human beings to protect them against the day of judgment, and mankind is rushing with great speed towards that day. Verily, on the day of judgment, people will come out of their graves and turn towards their destination, paradise or hell. No one shall be able to change the place which has been assigned to him according to his merits. To advise people to do good and to abstain from bad deeds and evil thoughts are two basic principles of religion. And these commands and interdictions neither bring a man nearer to death nor lessen his sustenance. You should act according to the teachings of the Book of Allah. It is a permanent covenant, a bright beacon, a lasting cure for rapt minds, and a draft which quenches the thirst for knowledge. It protects those who adhere to it and brings salvation to those who follow its tenets. It is a training which never wraps and thus requires no straightening, and which never goes astray and thus never needs reformation. Its repeated study and continuous use do not wear it out and cannot make it obsolete. One who speaks through it, according to its preachings, always speaks the truth, and one who acts through it is destined to go to paradise. When the sermon reached this stage, one of the audience stood up and inquired, "Please let us know what are trials, tests, and allurements through which we shall have to pass. Have you inquired about them of the Holy Prophet? How did he explain it?" Imam Ali thereupon replied, "When Allah revealed the verse, do people think that they will be left alone on saying that they have faith in Allah, the Holy Prophet and Islam? And will they not be tested and tried?" Surah Al-Ankabut 29:2. "I knew that there would not be any trial and scrutiny of the hearts of Muslims during the lifetime of the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants. I inquired of him, 'O Prophet of Allah, please let us know what are these trials and tests through which the Muslims are to pass, and which the Almighty Allah has proclaimed in this verse.' He replied, 'O Ali, soon after me, my followers will have to pass through a severe scrutiny.' On hearing this, I said, 'O Messenger of Allah, on the battlefield of Uhud, many Muslims achieved martyrdom, but I was left alive. Did not die the death of a martyr. I felt sad about it, but you consoled me and told me that I would meet martyrdom after you.' Thereupon, the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him, and his descendants replied, 'Of course, as I said, so shall it be. But Ali, will you resign to it patiently?' I replied, 'It, my martyrdom, will be an occasion for me to rejoice and feel grateful to Allah. There will be no question of resigning to it patiently.' The Holy Prophet thereupon said, 'O Ali, after me, my followers will be avaricious of the worldly wealth. They will imagine that they hold Allah under obligation because of acceptance of Islam as their religion. Therefore, they will expect his blessing as their dues and will consider themselves immune from his wrath. Skepticism and loss of faith mixed with maddening desires and inordinate temptations will make them legalize unlawful actions and will persuade them to grant religious sanctions to forbidden deeds. They will drink wines calling them fruit juices. They will accept bribes in the name of presents. They will sanctify usury and style it as trade. On hearing this, I inquired, should they be considered as skeptics and seditious persons or as apostates? The Holy Prophet replied, they should be treated as seditious Muslims. Sermon 160. Time and life, and how you should make use of them for eternal benefit. All praise be to Allah, who has made His praise the key to His remembrance, the cause for augmentation of His bounty, and the guide to understand His greatness and might. O creature of Allah, do realize that this world will treat the present people as it has treated the past. The time which has passed will never return, and whatever is present today will not remain so eternally. The world behaves today as it has behaved in the past. The sorrows and sufferings it inflicts are continuous, and its catastrophes and mishaps methodically and regularly follow each other like causes and effects. It has made time drive you as mercilessly as a camel driver drives those she-camels whose milk has been dried up. If a person occupies himself with improper actions, he confounds himself in ignorance and impiety, and his soul perishes. The Satan makes him rebel against Allah, and he adorns and embellishes vicious actions and sins to lure him. Remember that paradise is for those who are pious and who do good deeds, and hell is meant for those who exceed the bounds fixed by Allah, or for those who forsake their obligations and duties. Know, O creatures of Allah, piety is a strongly fortified and respectable haven, and sinful and vicious life is such a mean and undependable refuge that it can neither protect nor guard those who take its shelter. Remember that fear of Allah can protect one against the evils of sins, and that through true faith one can achieve greatness, excellence, and perfection. O people, fear Allah, especially where you yourself or such a person for whom you hold profound love and regards is involved. Verily, the merciful Allah has clearly shown you and brilliantly illuminated for you the path of truth and justice. Thus, what is left to you is to choose either eternal bliss or perpetual damnation. You have been guided to the ways and means of providing yourself for the next world, and are ordered to proceed to and be ready for the final exit, death. Your stay here is like that of a caravan resting on a roadside. You do not know when the order to march will be given. Listen, what will a person who has been created for the next world do with the present world, or gain anything by adopting vicious and sinful ways of life? And how can anybody derive permanent benefit from the wealth which will soon be taken away from him, leaving behind it the responsibility of accounting for its right or wrong use? O people, whatever the merciful Allah has promised by way of His benevolence will reach mankind. Therefore, nothing should tempt wise man towards wickedness and evil which he has forbidden. O people, be afraid of the day when your deeds will be scrutinized, a day when extreme distress and dismay will prevail, which will be so awful and so terrific as to make young people old. O people, remember that your inner self, subconscious mind, is watching your activities. Your limbs will bear testimony to your deeds, and the angels of Allah are keeping a true record of every action of yours and of even the number of breaths that you take during your lifetime. Even the darkest night cannot prevent these angels from seeing you, and even closed doors cannot hide you from them. Remember that tomorrow, the day of judgment, is not far away from today. Today, with whatever it contains, its pleasures and pains, its glories and disgrace, its ups and downs, will pass away, and tomorrow will soon follow it. I see as if everybody has reached his lonely destination, the grave. How lonely is that house? What an abandoned, desolate, and melancholy place. How forlorn, lonesome, and solitary abode for one to arrive in as a stranger at the end of his journey. I feel as if I hear the trumpet calling you for resurrection, as if I see the day of judgment has dawned, as if you are coming out of your graves to receive the dues you deserve. From your minds, the notions of disbelief in Allah and His might are now dispelled, the obscurity has disappeared, and you can see the reality face to face and can realize the truth preached by Islam. Listen to me and take warning from changes of lives and times, and avail yourself in time of lessons that fear of Allah and piety teach you. Sermon 161. In this sermon, Imam Ali extols the merits of the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, and the Holy Quran, and then passes a few remarks about himself and the Umayyads. He foretells that Umayyads, after once losing their sway in Arabia, will never regain it, a prophecy which came to be true. The merciful Allah sent our Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, as his prophet and messenger towards humanity at a time when the world had for a long time been left without a guide and a prophet, when mankind had passed ages in ignorance, infidelity and paganism, when teachings of the previous prophets had sadly dwindled away and dimmed. The Holy Prophet came attesting, confirming, and bearing testimony of the teachings of the prophets who had passed before him, and the sacred books which had been revealed to them. He brought with him a divine light, which is the Holy Quran. If you ask the Holy Book to speak to you, it will not, it cannot naturally speak, but I shall explain its teachings, and I shall interpret and explain the commands and the interdictions contained in it. Remember that this book can foretell the future of the mankind. It contains history of the past, and it can prescribe the best and surest cure for diseased consciences and rapt minds. During those days, the Umayyad regime, there will not be a residence either of the rich or the poor, where oppression and injustice or hardships and misfortunes will not be forced in by the tyrannical rule, or where vice and wickedness will not be introduced, and where no one will ever come to help the oppressed and the deprived persons. You will select wrong and undeserving persons for caliphate, and you will hand the reins of the state in impious and wicked hands. Allah will, in near future, punish the tyrants and the oppressors. They will be paid in their own coins. They will be degraded and will be made to suffer the deprivation, the injustice, the cruelty, the violence, and the tortures in the same way and in the same measures as they themselves had resorted to. By Allah, these Umayyads shall have to surrender this state soon after me, and it shall never go back to them. How true. Imam Ali said all this in about 38 after Hijra, as within a century the Umayyads' despotic regime came to an end. They never came back to power in Arabia, though another branch of this family had a long rule in Spain.